was so annoying in your ear. I don't care. I do care, but not enough to go back and start over. So what happened was I've had a lot of hospitalizations in my family lately. Nothing that like took me away from my home, just like family stress and, you know, things like that. But then very recently, I had another unexpected hospitalization, which impacted my parenting schedule. So, yeah, in case you're wondering, I don't forget about you guys. I just, something in my life always comes up, and I know you're tired of my broken promises. I had a lisp when I was little. I almost said it like that on the TikTok sound. But my goal for 2022 is to create a pod space, like an official one, so that I have a place to go and I can get more serious about this, because it's annoying when someone says they're going to do something and then they can't do it. So anyway, a little something I'm going to give you today is I got an email from my TikTok friend, Kelly. She didn't say that I couldn't use her name. So Kelly, if you don't want me to use your name, then you can send me a message and I'll edit this before anyone else hears it, after some people hear it. So the damage will be done. Hopefully it's fine. Excuse me, I just sniffled. I'm not gonna take that out either. So it's kind of a short story, and what I thought I would do is I would read her story just straight as it came. And then I have something a little bit related to her story that I found that we're gonna kind of expand on. So Kelly's story is actually an alien abduction story. And she says that it took her forever and she apologizes, but Kelly, I apologize because you sent this to me on December 4th. It's Christmas Eve. So I apologize. So Kelly says, my family lived with my grandparents for quite some time and my two sisters and I shared a bedroom. This story takes place when I was probably around 11, so my sisters were 12 and 13. All three of us slept in a big bed together and our room had a long window facing the front yard of the house. One night, we woke up to a bright green light that seemed like it was shining directly into our window from the front yard. It turned off then on again a few times, and the three of us were shaking from fear, but the third time it turned off then on again, we decided to go get our parents. Huddled together, we walked down the hall towards our parents' room. When we got there, they were not in bed, nowhere to be found. We called out for them and heard silence. Not even our grandparents came, which was odd as well, because they would have come if they'd heard us, and the house wasn't big at all, so why couldn't they hear us? We bravely decided to make our way towards the living room to see where everyone was. That's when we saw that the front door was wide open. Ooh, it was the middle of the night. Why was the front door wide open? Ooh, that freaks me out. Like, even if I didn't know that this was going towards an alien abduction story, that's unsettling to me when a door is open and it's not supposed to be. Hate it. It was very unlike my family, who took every precaution to secure that house. There were even iron bars on every door and window. Then my sister noticed that the green light was now shining again, but this time it looked like it was in the backyard. The large sliding glass doors had curtains, but the light was... Kelly! But the light was shining underneath. I don't know what that meant, and I'm so sorry. And I'm reading this real time. Like, I didn't really pre-read it. So you guys can't make fun of me for stumbling. The large sliding glass doors had curtains, but the light. I think it should be we saw the light was shining underneath. I don't know. I'm sorry, girl. We didn't go any further and decided to go back to our room. We held each other, and all I remember is being terrified. I bet. I must have fell back asleep, because that is where my memory ends. My oldest sister says my grandma did come in eventually, and she kept asking my grandma where they were, but she didn't know what she was talking about. She must have thought she was just having a bad dream. The next morning, we asked my parents the same question and told them about the night before, but they told us we were dreaming. All of us, the same dream, the same time. Still to this day, we all share the same memory. Whenever we talk about it now, all of us are in our 30s, it still really creeps us out, and our parents still have no recollection of going outside in the middle of the night while we slept. The more I think about it lately, the more I wonder if I actually fell back to sleep or if there was another reason why that's just where my memory stopped. So that's my alien abduction story. I hope it creeps you out as much as it has always creeped me out. Yes, your hope has been fulfilled. It does, because space as a whole terrifies me. Like, you want to send me a chart of the planets? Scary. Anxiety. You want to send me some, like, telescopic images? Mm-mm. No. So, yeah, your story does, it does creep me out. So, anyway, I've always been really creeped out by aliens. Oh, my God. Me too. She says, I've always been really creeped out by aliens even before this happened. I can watch any kind of horror movie, but I think it's the only thing that truly scares me. Anyway, love you, love the podcast. Thank you. She loves me and loves the podcast. That's so funny because I didn't read this. And I was on the same page as you. Literally. Because I printed it out. Can you hear that? Can you hear that? So, interesting point, though, because that's my question, is I read an article a little bit earlier, and it came out this year, I think, and it was talking about people who have claimed alien experiences or abductions or, you know, just any type of encounter with extraterrestrials, that it's lucid dreaming. So the article was all about these lucid dreams and how, you know, that can be the explanation for it and blah, 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 blah. But when I got to that part of your story, I thought, how could you all have been having the same dream at the exact same time? Like, that is a little bit suspicious. And it does. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this article that I found from PBS. And I know you guys can hear the paper moving around my desk. And I'm so sorry. But you know what? This is a poor person's podcast, okay? So I think that you guys could appreciate that. So, Bud Hopkins, I believe he passed away in 2011, but he has numerous books about interviews that he's done with people who claim abductions or experiences and what have you. So this PBS article has a couple of interviews, just little segments, portions of it, and I'm going to read them because while I don't personally believe in extraterrestrials, I don't like disbelieve either, if that makes sense. Like, I'm open-minded about it. I think I just don't believe in it because I've never really looked too much into it outside of, you know, like the media about extraterrestrials because it fucking scares me, as I said. So some of the information, just reading, you know, online articles relating to Bud Hopkins was a little like, oh, you know, I could be persuaded. Anywho, so the first one is the Linda case. And Hopkins says, I don't know if I'm allowed to just read verbatim off of this article that I printed offline. I think that's okay. But if anybody tries to sue me, guess what? I don't have any money. So the best case that I ever worked with, and it's extraordinarily important, and it's the subject of the book that I'm working on right now. It involves a woman who was abducted, who I had worked with before this experience. She was abducted from a 12th floor apartment in Manhattan, floated out the window. And in this case, the UFO occupants wanted this to be seen for various complicated reasons. So therefore, it was not masked or hidden or whatnot, even though it was 3 a.m. This woman was witnessed floating with 3 other aliens below the UFO 12 stories up by a number of different people who I have heard from. One of the people I interviewed at great length described her absolute terror when she saw this sight from the Brooklyn Bridge. Her first attempt to explain it to herself, this can't happen, was somebody must be making a movie. This must be a movie because this is impossible and yet I'm looking at it. There were other people on the bridge too, also terrified. There were people floating in the air, as they described it. People on the ground contacted me. They still have not wanted their names used. They've not wanted to talk to me personally for various reasons, but described exactly the same thing. I've gotten matching sets of drawings of what everyone saw from their own perspectives. Page turn. Another woman who I've dealt with at length saw the UFO right next to the building from which this woman was floated out. She said it was enormous, and at that point, somehow, her car stopped, and their memories are very unclear from that point on. Ooh. As if somehow or other, as often happens in these cases, there was some kind of effect, electromagnetic effect or whatever, we don't know what to call it, which stopped the car. and their memories only went up to the point of seeing this UFO right directly next to the building before the people floated out. I have another witness at another location. Here we have eyewitnesses to people doing an impossible thing, floating, 12 stories up in a beam of light. There's much, much other testimony connected with this, some of which I'm not at liberty to present right now. So, yikes. The next is titled Bud Hopkins' First Case. And Hopkins says, when I had looked into the very first case that I investigated, which was back in 1975, having to do with a landing that was observed by a man I knew in New Jersey, the little figures getting out digging soil samples, etc., and I checked into the apartment building that faced this park where the landing took place. It took me weeks to try to run down a man who was probably the night doorman at the time of this landing case. And when I finally got him on the phone and I asked a very loaded question, quote, do you remember anything unusual happening in the park around January of this year? And the man said to me, quote, I certainly do. I'll never forget it. This UFO came down and landed in the park and scared me half to death. And as he started to describe it, I started to get chills because something in me, even at that date, after I'd had a sighting years before, did not want to accept that this could have really, really happened. The next portion is a letter to Bud Hopkins. And he says, here's a letter, a woman writing about her child. Ooh, hate that. Page turn. She was so concerned. Her daughter is 3 years old. When she was putting her daughter to bed, the little girl cried and cried and said, I want to hide. And the woman asked, why? And she said, I'm hiding because the little people are going to get me. This really frightened the mother, and she asked, what happened with the little people? The mother wrote, she told me they came into her room to take her outside. Sorry, I'm like reading this for the first time and I'm reading it just as it is. So I'm going to read that again. She told me they come into her room, take her outside, that they have big eyes, and that she went up into the sky with the man. I asked what happened up there, and she said, they took me to see the doctor. The next day, she saw on a television program, her mother was sitting there, a cover of a book about abductions with the face of an alien. The little girl jumped to her knees, pointing at the TV, shouting, that's them, mommy, the people. She covered her eyes and said, I'm scared, mommy. I've never seen such fear in Nicole before. Within that same week, she drew many faces with only very large dark eyes. I also noticed at that time, while undressing her, three tiny raised pen-like marks near her navel and the same under her left nostril. That same day, she also had a pretty bad nosebleed. Oh my God. Since this all occurred, every now and then she mentions, other things such as, they take my jammies off, they hurt me, oh my God, etc. I realize you receive many letters of this kind, some of which are phony, but believe me, this is not made up. If this is all really happening to my little girl, please give me some advice as to how to help her deal with these visitations. I know you're a very busy man, but please, perhaps a short response to my letter may ease my anxiety a little, Mr. Hopkins. Could this really be true? Thank you, sincerely. And obviously their name is redacted. There's no way that one can read these letters without responding. And the idea that something like that is made up by a publicity seeker, excuse me, or whatever, as skeptics like to say, is just absolutely absurd. I have worked with some of these people afterwards, referred them to other investigators, and I think we've brought some relief for them in helping them explore what really did happen in their lives. Well, that was like really heartbreaking. A typical case is the next section. Page turn. Hopkins says, I was working with a man once who was a lieutenant in the army at the time of the incident. Big, tall man, an Irish man, pretty macho, had a young wife and a little baby. And he told me that when he was taken into the craft, put on the table, paralyzed, terrified, couldn't move, he resolved that when he was going to get off the table, he was going to make a break for it, wherever, however, he thought that was going to work. And he said he was lifted up after this physical examination, which was humiliating. His feet went down to the floor and he said, Bud, I just stood there. I didn't move. I didn't do anything. I just couldn't do anything. And this little figure came along and these long gray fingers reached out and took him by the wrist. And he said, he just gently took me by the wrist and I went with him. And he said, you know, I was the giant in that room, but I was the baby. And it was so difficult for this man with all his military training and his Irish background and his youth to admit that he could be that easily manipulated and moved. And if you think of that as an example of what might lie ahead for society in a certain sense, it's a pretty grim future. But next is the Long Island case. And Hopkins says, in another case on Long Island, a woman who I've worked with had remembered waking up and there was a range of physical phenomena which she described. I think she was paralyzed at one point. Her son, in the morning, had described these figures coming into the room. He was enormously terrified. The woman remembered walking downstairs in the middle of the night, and she doesn't remember coming back up. She found herself in bed. There was a lot of confusion. But in the middle of all this, the neighbors called to say, oh my God, what is that thing in your yard with all the lights in it? On it, excuse me. So you have witnesses who happen to look out the window and see the UFO on this person's property. Well, you have cases like this again and again, and either this happened the way it happened, or again, you have some patron kind of elaborate collective hoax, including people's children. There's no motive for this. I think the evidence is just again and again totally persuasive. These cases never blow up in your face. Blow up in your face. And suddenly, oh, we found out that that was so-and-so was a crook. I don't know why I'm struggling so hard. We're almost done, so it won't be as painful, but let me back up. These cases never blow up in your face. And suddenly, oh, we found out that so-and-so was a crook and they were doing this and that. It doesn't happen. The material withstands all kind of scrutiny. And as a matter of fact, the more you look into it, the more evidence comes together to support them. Yikes. So it looks like this was a 1996 article. But if you want to go check some stuff out, it's titled Kidnapped by UFOs? ? And it was within the NOVA section on the PBS website. So, I'll post something on the Instagram if you guys want to leave some comments, your thoughts, opinions. If anybody has any experiences or stories and you want to email them in, absolutely. I'm intrigued. I want to look kind of more into these things from Bud Hopkins, you know, because we all know that the government has recently made some admissions, but I'm a skeptical person. So I don't know. I might have to get more into this. But if you want to send an email, you can send that to opinepodcast@gmail.com. Again, the Instagram is opine for true crime if you want to go there and leave anything. What else do we have? I don't know. Nothing, because I only do this like once every 2 months. Patreon, if you want to head there, there's a link in the Instagram bio. Because I can't remember what it's called right now. I think it's patreon.com/opinepod. I'm pretty sure that's it. But I'm a horrible, horrible podcaster. So anyway, I'll talk to you guys later, and I hope you have a really good holiday. Bye!